Hi there. Well, today we are starting the very first lesson of Our Covenant God. And I know we're all excited, so let's get started. First of all, I hope that you've all had a look at the website, www.ourcovenantgod.com. Now, on that website you will find a section where you can download the message in MP3 form, and you will also find the study notes there as well. On the study notes you will find homework questions. On the website you will also find a forum, and on the forum is where you would post the answers to your homework questions. And it's pretty cool, so for those of you who've never used a forum before, well, have fun! Because you will find that there's a lot of interaction and you learn a lot from each other just reading and discussing each other's answers. And so today we're just going to look at generally what is a covenant. What is covenant all about? You know, it's a buzzword. Covenant and kingdom, those are the words that seem to be bandied about a lot today in the church. And so, truly, what is a covenant? What is covenant? I'm going to read something that I wrote, an introduction to covenant, and you will find this in the notes. Covenant is to friends what marriage is to a married couple. Covenant is to friends what marriage is to a married couple. Covenant is the union of two lives, traditionally symbolized by the mixing of their blood. Just as that blended blood can never be separated, the blood covenant bond between friends can never be broken. The two have become one soul and one life, until death us do part. Throughout the Bible, we see that God entered into blood covenants with people, committing himself to both faithful and unfaithful men. To understand why he did so, we need to think the way that the biblical writers thought about friendship and covenant. Today we use the term friend very loosely. However, in Middle Eastern and biblical thought, a friend was someone that you were so close to that you had entered into a blood covenant with them. It was only after Abraham entered into covenant with God that God called him his friend. Jesus said that this friendship love was the greatest love of all when he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." John 15 verse 13. This is the same agape love which is described in 1 Corinthians 13. Covenant is different to a contract. It's not a legal document. A contract is based on mistrust, where the parties try to protect their personal interests. With a contract, one must always be careful to read the fine print. In contrast, a covenant is a complete giving of yourself to the other person, with absolutely no concern for yourself at all. In a covenant relationship, your concern and focus is on the other person, not on yourself. Covenant is friendship, and it incorporates intimacy, selflessness, agreement, love, and relationship. In our study, we trace and examine the covenant relationships between God and mankind throughout history, as recorded in the Holy Bible. So many people question whether or not God could really love them. But that is the wrong question to ask. God loves you and is your friend. The real question to ask is, will you be God's friend? God is indeed our covenant God. Amen. Well, what is a covenant? Because covenant isn't practiced very much today, we really are in danger of missing its meaning. Covenant is not just a binding agreement. It's not a contract between two parties. In fact, It's the union of two friends as their two separate lives become a single life. Before you can understand covenant, we have to be able to define the word friend. Friend is just one of those words that we use so often that it's truly seldom ever actually defined. The meaning of the word friend might differ from person to person in their understanding. To me, one person that I might consider a friend, you might consider that to be only an acquaintance type of relationship. In today's society, friendships come and go, almost like the tide. People that you thought would be in your life forever may not be there tomorrow. Now, I'm not talking about people being there, present in your life. I'm talking about the love in a person's heart that you have for the person. That friendship love, that bond. Even the slightest disagreement today can end a friendship at the drop of a hat. But in the Eastern or biblical thought and way of life, a person was only considered your friend after he or she had entered into a blood covenant with you. It was a far deeper relationship than is generally understood by the word friend today. The root meaning of the word friend means lover. A friend is one who loves. The love of a friend, according to biblical and Middle Eastern thought, is unselfish love and a love without desire. In Greek, the word used for this type of love is agape. It's described in 1 Corinthians 13, the great love chapter of the Bible. It is a love that selects and rests on the one selected without asking any return. Jesus called this love the greatest love of all when he said, "Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." In John 15, verse 13. A friend is someone who stays true to you, even if you reject and hurt them. This was really hard for me to grasp because I always thought that friendship was a two-way street. The way that I saw it was that if someone hurt me, that meant that they had broken the friendship. And so I was free then to close the doors and walk away. It wasn't because I was a hard person that I reacted that way. It's quite the opposite, actually. But it was a survival tactic to save me from hurt and pain of betrayal. But what God showed me was that friend is your identity. No matter what the other person does to you, friend is who you are. There's an old Persian poem by a poet by the name of Jamie, which addresses this topic, or this aspect of friendship. It's translated by a man called Aldra, and I'm going to read it to you. It goes as follows. Sheikh Scoobly, taken sick, was borne one day unto the hospital. A host the way behind him thronged. "Who are you?" Scoobly cried. "We are your friends," the multitude replied. Sheikh Scoobly threw a stone at them. They fled. "Come back, ye false pretenders," then he said. "A friend is one who, ranked among his foes, by him he loves, and stoned and beat with blows, will still remain as friendly as before, and to his friendship only add the more." I have to be honest, I had to read that poem a few times before I realized the full extent of what it was saying. Basically, what Sheikh Scoobly was saying was that if you were really my friend, it wouldn't matter how many stones and rocks I throw at you. You would not run away. You would stay by my side no matter what. As I was preparing this lesson, I started to think about dogs. You know the phrase, a dog is a man's best friend? And isn't that how a dog is? As a child, we had a dog called Nicky. Nicky was a golden retriever cross about maybe 10 other breeds of dog. But she was so faithful. She was loyal. She was trustworthy. She would never leave our side. If we were outside, she walked next to us all the way. It didn't matter if she was in trouble and she'd just been scolded or even just been hit. She was still faithful. She was still loyal. She still wouldn't leave. And I can remember as a child throwing stones at her to try and make her go back home when I'd gone for a walk away from the house. And those stones couldn't stop her. She would not leave. She followed me all the way. From a distance, yes, but she was still there. She was still watching over me. She didn't leave. And it seems to me that that is exactly what this poet is referring to. And it seems to me that that is perhaps exactly why we call a dog man's best friend. Of course, we know that man's best friend is really Jesus, and no animal can be your best friend because there are other aspects of relationship which a dog cannot meet, for example, communication. But when it comes to loyalty, yes, I would say a dog is man's best friend, apart from Jesus.